You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, we got the great Michael Knowles coming up about a half hour from now. I'm sure that'll be funny. It always is. We're going to deal with this Russia-Ukraine thing, some emails, living in Washington, D.C., and so much more coming up this hour on the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, there is something happening. Something I've warned about many times, and it's happening, and I'm not exactly sure what to say other than it has me worried, so I'm just going to lay it out for you. I realize the Russia-Ukraine thing has gone on a long time. It doesn't capture the imagination anymore. People don't talk about it anymore. It's that story came and it went and it faded, but it's still happening. And it's a terrible, terrible conflict. It's a drone war. It's an artillery war, and men are dying in the hundreds of thousands. Hundreds of thousands of men are gone. Now, it's freaking terrible. Generations wiped out. And obviously, this is a regional thing that is, there's a ton of history there between Ukraine and Russia, obviously. Well, Russia invaded Ukraine. Russia grabbed some territory in Ukraine, the territory they wanted. And they've been holding it. America has publicly been sending munitions over there, F-16. So we've been sending some pretty good equipment their way, and we haven't been doing it secretly as proxy wars have previously been fought, because we are now run by the dumbest, most depraved, craven losers on the planet, Republican and Democrat both. We now brag about the people we're killing with our proxy wars. Russia is the largest nuclear power on the planet. Ukraine has taken these weapons we have given them, and they have launched a surprise offensive into Russia. There are Ukrainian army units currently fighting within the borders of Russia. Now, I'm not exactly rooting for Russia at all. Honestly, I'm not really rooting for anybody. I don't give a crap about Ukraine, and I don't give a crap about Russia. Ukraine is a horrifically corrupt black market state. Russia's a horrifically corrupt, evil, tyrannical place. I don't really care for either of them. So my concern is neither country. My concern is America. Americans, my concern is the very idea of war. We have so armed the Ukrainians, they now have violated Russian territory in the same way Russia violated theirs. You know, I don't actually blame the Ukrainians for playing some offense. They've been playing defense for long enough. What I am very concerned about is a Russian response. Russia has publicly declared many, many times that any violation of Russian territory, Russian sovereignty, any crossing of the borders into Russia will be met with a nuclear response. Now, I hope this is bluster. There's always a lot of bluster in war. Always is. You know, we'll never surrender. And 2 weeks later, they're surrendering. There's always a lot of that in war. So you have to allow for that. Are these empty Russian threats? But let's just walk through this, and then we'll move on. I want to get to some other things. Let's just walk through this. What if Russia drops a nuclear weapon on the Ukrainians? Remember, advancements in nuclear technology, they kind of go the opposite way you'd think. Like when you hear a country has developed a new nuclear weapon, I don't know about you, I instinctively think to myself, wow, it must be huge. Clearly that's a bigger one, right? Well, they already have gigantic nation-ending weapons that are that size. The advancements in nuclear technology goes the other way. They're trying to make smaller ones, more portable ones. So instead of an intercontinental ballistic missile that you need to deliver this massive weapon, what if you could throw it in a duffel bag? What if you could drop it out of one of those Piper Cub planes I was discussing earlier? What if you could make it small, portable, more difficult to detect? That's where the advancements in nuclear weapons have come from, and Russia has advanced as fast or faster than anyone else. So no, I don't think they're going to drop some mega hydrogen bomb and completely vaporize the eastern portion of Russia. But what if we wake up tomorrow morning and there's been a mini mushroom cloud? And I'm not even going to discuss the loss of Ukrainian lives. I don't mean to sound cold. That is not really my concern at all. How does the world react if Russia uses a nuclear weapon against the Ukrainians? By the letter of the law, nothing should really change because Ukraine is not part of NATO, which of course makes NATO's involvement in this, and obviously ours, I'm making us part of that, it makes our involvement of this completely insane. Ukraine is not protected by NATO because they're not part of NATO. They're not allowed to join NATO because they border Russia, and Russia would never let a NATO country border it. No country would allow that. Anyway, what does NATO do if Russia sets off a nuclear weapon? And that brings me back to this little thing. Who is in charge of the United States military right now? You want to hear something insane? This is legit. So it's just, you ready for this? You know that we sent a carrier group over to the Middle East because of Iran. There are all kinds of rumors Iran's going to attack this week, any day now. They've been saying that for days. Who knows? But there are rumors. And so we sent a carrier group over to the Middle East. You ready for a bomb? No one knows who sent it. No one knows who gave the order for a freaking carrier group to go to the Middle East. It certainly wasn't Joe Biden. Joe Biden has disappeared from public life. You know how we used to make fun of him because he wouldn't have anything on his schedule, or he'd have very few things on his schedule? That schedule, it's disappeared. He's not even pretending anymore. He's on vacation. He's at the beach every day. He's not campaigning. He's not even pretending to be president of the United States of America. So who gave the order? Dome?
They're trying to do what they did with woke, with DEI, and say that it is somehow a bad thing to care about and talk about diversity and equity and inclusion. Well, on the environmental justice point, it's all...
You think this woman is commanding the United States military right now?
All about equity. And I'll simplify what this means. Equity is this.
We have a carrier group heading to the Middle East and no one knows who sent it. Ukraine has officially invaded Russia, crossed the border. There are threats of a nuclear weapon, and the United States of America doesn't even have a commander-in-chief. Doesn't even have a commander-in-chief. Phew. That is something. But Lindsay's excited about it. He hasn't been this fired up since he watched Thunder from Down Under.
What I think about Curse, bold, brilliant, beautiful. Keep it up. Putin started this, kick his ass. Bottom line is to the administration, I appreciate your support. Let these people fight. Give them weapons they need to win a war they can't afford to lose. When it comes to F-16s, way too long, they're here. Let's use them.
Oh, a war with the potential for millions of people to die. Lindsay has rarely been that excited. He said I can use his name, but he led with his name instead of mine. He said, Jesse, I haven't watched professional football in more than a decade. What are your thoughts on collegiate athletics? I certainly don't want to support the commies in the NFL, but is it any better to support the commies on the administrative side of college football, buddy? I don't know, man. And the reason I say it that way is not that I'm exasperated with you. I'm exasperated with me. I don't know how the best to handle this. I know we need to put our money where our morals are, and we need to be more purposeful with where we spend our money. I went to a movie last night with my family after I got off, and I forgot to check it. I forgot to look into the movie, and it turns out it was a despicable movie. Well, made by a despicable company. I take that back. So I just did it last night. I can't look down my nose at you or lecture you about how you handle it. Maybe you're handling this in big ways, turning off the television, doing that. You're not buying Nike. Maybe you're doing that. We're trying to do that in our house. You know, we canceled Disney Plus. We're trying to be purposeful. But also remember to give yourself a lot of grace, because the filthy communists have conquered a lot, and it's hard to avoid them completely. It's very, very difficult. All right? All right. You know what's easy? Supporting Chalk. Buying things from Chalk. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk. We got 3 months until the election. You know, 20% increase in your T levels is possible by election day. Did you know that? Chalk's male vitality stack is natural herbal supplements. Your T levels, they're going to go through the roof, and you're going to know it. You won't even need testing. Go ahead and get testing done. That's fine. You will feel it in your energy level. Your mind feels so clear. You are so much more focused. It's just life is better, gentlemen. Life is better. Get a male vitality stack from Chalk flowing through those veins. Go to Chalk.com and get a subscription. You cancel it anytime. They don't give you any crap about that either. Take it for 90 days. Tell me how you feel. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, remember to take good care of your health.
An Italian man is believed to be the first patient diagnosed with monkeypox, COVID-19, and HIV all at the same time.
I think it's probably time to start questioning some of your life choices when you come down with monkeypox, HIV, and COVID at the same time. Maybe you're traveling down a road you shouldn't travel down, a dirt road. But either way, maybe we should stop doing that. You know, speaking of monkeypox, remember when a kid got it? Remember when a child and a dog got monkeypox, and then the media decided to stop talking about it? Seems like that was only yesterday.
Why are you good?
Hi, Jesse. I love your show. I learn a lot from you. I'm from Connecticut. I posted on Nextdoor about Walls' stolen valor. Half the responses were positive. One man posted it as a vet. Trump was no friend of his, as he was a draft dodger, so on and so forth. Attempted to withdraw $4 billion from a charity. What's the truth of any of this? Her name is Heather. Okay, listen. This is the communists doing politics better than we do politics. And here's what I mean. Tim Walz is being crucified daily for pretending he served in ways he didn't serve, for pretending he went to combat when he didn't, for pretending to be a command sergeant major when he wasn't. This is a problem for the communists, a huge problem. Now, let me ask you something. How much have you seen them playing defense on this issue? You haven't really seen much of it, have you? What do they do? What's the communist response? Offense. Offense at all times. What Trump's a draft dodger. What Trump did this. Trump did that. You see, they have a winning mentality of offense. They don't allow you to frame them and keep the subject on something they don't want to talk about. That's what losers in the Republican Party do. That's why losers in the Republican Party will constantly find themselves disavowing and denouncing white supremacy over and over and over again, as if the communist cares about that at all. You see, they play offense at all times. They don't sit around whining, I didn't have anything to do with Project 2025. Stop yelling at me. You never, ever, 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 ever see the communists do that at all. The communist plays offense in the same way we should. There's no truth to that. Trump never pretended to serve. Trump never lied about any of that crap. Trump never pretended to be in the military. And I might point out that Trump has been shot at more times than Tim Walz, and he was never in the United States military. The problem is not what Walz did do or didn't do. The problem is Walz lied about it. That is the big deal. And the communists don't want you to keep talking about it. They want you to let up. They want you to back off. That's why they play offense. They try to make you unsure of yourself, question yourself. Trump didn't do anything wrong. Tim Walz did. Blast away at them. Jesse, I'm now seeing and hearing the word literally everywhere thanks to you. My granddaughter says this word before, during, and at the end of all sentences. It's maddening. I'm trying to correct her. If I see the word on my Twitter feed, I scroll past their posts. It's everywhere. She said I could say her name. Her name is Michelle. I don't know when it happened. The word has become an infection. And I first noticed it with young women, but it is not at all isolated to young women. It is, look, I was listening to a podcast. It was a history podcast. I'm not going to tell you what it was. It's not, because I'm about to insult the guy. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but these are some old guys sitting around talking about history. And one of these old guys, I would guess he's in his 60s, he can't get through a sentence and he literally did this. And they were literally doing this. And it was literally the worst thing. And it was literally this. And it was literally that. Literally. I would literally say, literally. It drives me freaking crazy. Somebody has to do something to stop this word. And I'm telling you, you know what? You want to know what I do? And like, I'm not telling you to do this to your granddaughter, because it's going to be different when I have grandkids. I'm a dad right now, and I don't have daughters. I have sons, so I can be as cruel as I want to them. It's good for boys. My sons know if they say the word, I'll repeat it back. Dad, I'll just chime right in mid-sentence. Literally? I'll just be obnoxious about the whole thing. I've basically, I don't want to overstate it. Pretty much vanquished the word from my house. It'll slip out every now and then from one of them, but they know at this point in time, you've got to stop using that word. I don't know when Americans decided that word had to be part of every sentence, but it's not just little teeny bopper teenage girls now. It's men, it's women, it's young, it's old. Remember, how many times have I played Joe Biden? Joe Biden himself, the president of the United States of America. And I literally told the guy, and it was literally this and literally that. It's friggin' awful. You know who's not awful? Michael Knowles of the Michael Knowles Show. He has a completely different take on the dudes beating up women in boxing. You know, that story really got big with the Olympics. Michael Knowles has a take on it that is different than one you've heard over and over again. And I want you to hear it, because I agree with a lot of what he has to say. Hang on for that.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Returns next.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions in just a second. I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and a song that terrible can only mean one thing. It means our guest, my friend Michael Knowles, refused to pick his intro song, and you know the rules here on the Jesse Kelly Show. If you refuse, you get the worst song we can dig up on short notice. So joining me now, a man who needs no introduction, host of the Michael Knowles Show, cigar salesman and well-known Italian, Michael Knowles. Michael, I bet you won't make that mistake again.
Jesse, I think I've got to correct you. That is the song I requested. So thank you for fulfilling my request.
You know, that actually wouldn't even surprise me about you at all. So speaking of girls, Michael, they're getting beaten up by dudes in the Olympics. This is not only happening in the Olympics, it's happening in America. 17-year-old girl still has brain damage from getting a volleyball spiked off her face by some dude out there. The world has gone mad.
It has gone mad. And there's been this whole fight in the Olympics over whether or not the dude is really a dude, because one of the boxing leagues, the professional boxing leagues, said this guy's a dude. He has the chromosomes of a dude. And so even if he's a little bit ambiguous down there, he's a fella. But the person says, no, I'm not a dude. I'm a woman. And the Olympics is no help because the Olympics doesn't really test for this thing and doesn't recognize the results of the boxing league. So now this dude gets in the ring and destroys this Algerian man or woman or whatever this person happens to be, destroys this Italian lady in about 46 seconds. And then the other fella goes in and beats women. And what do you know? You know, it turns out the men are stronger physically than the women. But the conservative response I've heard to this has been that we need to make sure that the women punching women in the face are only women. And for me, I'm not saying I don't like a little foxy boxing every now and again. Pillow fights are fine too. But it's a little unusual to me that the conservatives are defending the supposedly great tradition of women's boxing. Women's boxing began in the Olympics way back in 2012. So it's only been around for about 12 years. And actually, women's boxing's only existed anywhere, really, since about 1998 or 1999. So you can call me a crazy old fuddy-duddy right-wing conservative. Just seems to me that maybe certain things are better left to the fellas, and catching blows to the head might be one of them. And then we don't need to debate the issue at all.
You know, it's wild how much I agree with you on this exact thing. I understand female division in the UFC has gotten big and female boxing is a big thing. And I know it makes me sound like an old curmudgeon fuddy-duddy. You know, I'm fine with women's volleyball and, well, softball and maybe to a lesser extent. And basketball is awful, but I'm fine with all these things. But women beating the living crap out of each other has simply been normalized now. And there's a lot that's been normalized, and we go along with it because it's been so much, we feel like we should just fight over a little slice, because otherwise, what, it's too daunting? Is that why?
Exactly. This is how sorry a state the conservatives are in right now. We're fighting desperately to go back to that halcyon conservative era of the second Obama term. we're trying to go back so recently. And so, you know, this is why it was so potent when the Algerian boxer said, no, I'm not a man, I'm a woman. And we don't know. We actually don't know. We haven't really seen the results from the world boxing test, and the Olympics isn't clearing anything up. So who knows? Maybe this person has a difference of sexual development. Maybe this person has ambiguous genitals. I have no idea. to me, the problem with the boxing at the Olympics was not that men were throwing punches. To me, the problem is that women were getting punched in the face. Let's say that this person really is technically a woman somehow. It doesn't make it any better to watch a woman get cracked in the face. And so conservatives talk a big game these days about understanding the difference between men and women. You know, we're really tough on the trans issue. Well, okay, if you really think men and women are different and suited for different things, and, you know, we like women's volleyball and tennis is great, and, you know, even basketball, okay, sure, just as you said, Jesse. But if you're all for women just getting their skulls cracked in, even by other women, to me, you are a radical leftist by the perspective of 2012.
No, you are. Again, we're speaking with Michael Knowles of The Michael Knowles Show. Along these same lines, actually, it's really the same argument. The best you can get out of the GOP anymore is complaining about trannies in women's sports. They love to do that. It's part of the GOP platform. Get the trannies out of women's sports. Get the trannies out of the women's sports. So now, as a party or as a movement, now we've acknowledged that tranny is even a thing. Now we've right. So all the rest of it is acceptable as long as you're not beating up the female volleyball players. It's fine if you chop your penis off and pretend to be a woman. I just don't understand why we cede ground so quickly. It blows me away, brother.
Of course, this is what got me in a lot of trouble at CPAC a couple years ago now, is I went out and all I said was that transgenderism is fake. And so a man can't really be a woman, and it's not good for women, you know, if men go into their bathrooms, it's actually it violates their legitimate rights. But it's also not good for people who think they're the opposite sex because they're deluded, and it's we can talk about all the various measurements of ways in which that has negative effects on their life, you know, the anxiety, the depression, the suicide. So it's not good for anyone to live according to a lie. And so I said, you know, we can't content ourselves with just not transing the 8-year-olds. You know, we'll trans the 9-year-olds, but not the 8-year-olds. No, guys, either a man can become a woman or he can't. You know, if he can, then I guess we should trans the kids. And if he can't, as he obviously cannot, then we shouldn't do it to anyone. But now that position, which everybody in the country agreed with as recently as, what, 8 or 9 years ago now, now that position doesn't even hold currency in the Republican Party.
Michael, is it our desire to be liked or to be considered nice? Is that what dooms the right on these cultural fights that only ever move left? Sometimes they move quickly, sometimes they move slowly, but they only ever move left. Is it because we want so desperately to be seen as nice? Is it our Christian base? You know, because, you know, that's more of a Christian thing, Catholic thing, your love of Jesus. What is it that makes us so kind to the freaking demons who chop children up?
Sure, in part, sure, it is that, you know, we want to be liked or something, and we want to be really nice, and there are perversions of the gospel, and so, sure, that's part of it. But I actually think, in the conservatives' defense, a bigger reason why we constantly capitulate is that we like paying our mortgage and we like being admitted into society, and we like, you know, being accepted in schools and in jobs, and because the left wields such hegemonic power now over basically every institution in American life. Used to be that, well, they didn't have the military, you know, but now we have General Milley yelling around. We're waiting for him to dye his hair pink. He's screaming about white rage and critical race theory. You know, even the military has been infected at the upper brass by leftism. So the conservatives, I think, are making sometimes cowardly but sometimes prudential judgments that, hey, we can't even interact in society anymore if we don't cede some ground. And I get why they do it in the short term. The problem is the hegemonic liberalism in our whole society. So if you just keep capitulating, you keep moving that football further down the field for the left, pretty soon you've just given up the whole game.
Hegemonic is a huge word that I've never used because I'm not 100% sure of its meaning, but I'm totally going to use it at some point in the rest of this show, and I'm not even going to mention you. I'm just going to use it as if it's my word, and I'm going to move along like nothing happened. I hope you're okay with that.
good writers borrow and great writers steal, Jesse.
Well, you know, I have no moral founding whatsoever, so I'm not above that at all. He is Michael Knowles. Michael, I don't even think I can let you go without letting you hawk your cigars one more time on the show. Please tell everyone where to buy your cigars.
I'm so glad you reminded me of that, Jesse. That would be MayflowerCigars.com, one of the last vestiges of tradition, luxury, masculinity, and recreation that we are allowed. MayflowerCigars.com. I just have to tell your listeners, you must be 21 years old or older to order because our government is oppressive and some exclusions apply.
Michael, thank you, brother. Come back soon.
Thanks, Jesse. Talk to you later.
He always makes me laugh. He's sharp, dude. You know what else is sharp? My pillow. Well, I guess the pillows aren't sharp. That came out wrong. The pillows are really soft. What, Chris? The pillows are soft. I meant the company is sharp. They're sharp because they have sales, big sales. Like, they have a huge sale right now, and that's sharp. That's a sharp thing to do. Not everyone can afford a MyPillow right now. Limited time. Queen-size premium MyPillow, $19.98. $19.98. You'll never be without it. Everyone in my home sleeps on a MyPillow. Mattress toppers are on sale. Towel sets are on sale. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square. Use the promo code Jesse. Jesse. That came out weird. It came out. I had the hiccups there. Either way, promo code Jesse. We'll talk later. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Do not forget, you can email the show, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Go download a podcast of the show if you missed any part of it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. It's been a pretty hegemonic day here on the show. What, Chris? It has been. It's been super hedgy out here today. Interest payments on the debt consumed more than half of the U.S. income tax revenue in July. So I'm going to lay something out for you where we're at, because paired with this is almost 40% of Americans can't pay their bills. These are both things that came out today. So I'm going to explain. All right. We have a house. You and me. We live in a house. We live together. Please stop leaving your socks out. It's gross. Anyway, we live together. We bring in $100,000 a year, you and me. We both work. We bring in $100,000 a year. Okay? With me? All right. So our home is expensive. It's cost a lot. And we keep buying things. Couple new Lamborghinis in the driveway, diamond earrings and jewelry, lavish vacations. We just keep buying things and buying things, and we keep taking out loans and taking out loans and taking out loans over and over and over and over again. We have credit card debt. We have personal loans. We have all kinds of things. So we make $100,000 a year. So let's divide that by 12. That's $8,300 a month, give or take. $8,300 a month is what we have to spend. We have accumulated so much debt in our home that just to make the interest payments to the bank and the interest payments to the credit cards, it costs us over $4,000 a month to make the interest payments. We can't actually touch the principal on any of our loans anymore. Half of the income we bring in to our home goes to paying the interest on the debt we've accumulated with all those Lamborghinis and diamond earrings. That is where we are as a nation. We are at a point of economic crisis, and so many people, they don't understand it. They don't realize it. They don't know what's happening out there right now. You can't afford your bills because of inflation. You have inflation because of government spending and printing. And Washington, D.C. isn't slowing down at all. Not Republicans, not Democrats. It's trillion-dollar bill after trillion-dollar bill. These people are going to bury us. And there is, as of right now, no major movement at all to reduce government spending by a single penny. I want to make sure you understand that. The most controversial spending things you will hear out of D.C. are them asking to spend a little less than the scheduled increase in spending. But as far as actually reducing the amount of spending, no one is even suggesting it. So going back to the house that we live in, not only do we make $100,000 a year, $8,300 a month, not only are we paying now over $4,000 a month for just the interest alone on the debt we've accumulated, we are both going car shopping for new Ferraris this weekend. We intend to take loans out for new Ferraris, and we're going to put in a $100,000 swimming pool. We'll take out a loan for that too. It's not just that we're not battening down the hatches. Hey, it's Kraft mac and cheese for the next 50 years. We're not only not doing that, we are spending as much as we can possibly spend, as fast as we can possibly spend it, as if disaster is not here. Right now, I want you to think about it this way. I want you to think about, make a line for yourself, a vertical line, because there's a top and a bottom. It's a vertical line. The water level is rising. It's starting to rise. We'll make it a stick. It's starting to rise up this stick. Already the people on the bottom, income-wise, the poor people, they're already drowning. They're already not making ends meet. They're all on welfare, moving in with family, friends, making serious cuts. Except now the water level has risen to such a point, it is now risen into the middle class, into retired people who maybe didn't retire. You know, most people don't retire with millions and millions of dollars. That's not how people live. You retire with as much as you possibly can. You try to live within your means, schedule your spending out for how much you have to make sure you're not destitute or have to go back to work when you're 90 years old unless you want to. Those people, they're being eaten alive right now because there's no cost of living increase because there's no money for that with Social Security either. So the poor, drowning. The retired without a bunch of money, drowning. Middle class Americans, normal people, small business owners, they're beginning to feel the water levels rise around them as well. And the water just keeps going up, 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 up that stick, up our economic stick as a society. And the people who are causing the water levels to rise have not even indicated that they intend to stop spending or printing at all. Forget about bailing water. No one's even acting like they intend to stop the water's rise. In the very least, the GOP used to pretend to care about cutting spending. Of course, then they would never cut anything. They would go in there and spend just as much as the idiot communist Democrats do. And I'm sure that we're going to get a whole heaping helping more of that. But the financial situation is disastrous. It's not bad. It's disastrous. And it's eating up Americans. It's chewing them up and spitting them out. And I can't stand it. I can't stand it because no one in Washington wants to do anything about it. Freaking drives me nuts. Anyway, you know, Relief Factor can't help with that pain. You know, Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. And here's how you take Relief Factor. You take it every day because it's drug-free. You take it every day. It's developed by doctors. It's a unique formula of natural ingredients. And after 3 weeks, it'll be built up enough in your system that that daily pain that freaking plagues you, that back pain, the neck pain, your hands, your joints, it will fade away. It might be eliminated completely, but it will slowly fade away. Probably won't even take 3 weeks. Go get a 3-week supply of Relief Factor and try it. If it doesn't work, don't order more. I don't want you to. You might just have a better life for the rest of your life because of Relief Factor, though. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Hi, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia.
On this week's episode of Math and Magic, I'm sitting down with the one and only Bobby Bones. We're exploring the power of audio.
Yeah, I don't fit into one specific hole. I think that is what endeared me to listeners. That's why I'm here now, because I talk to people that grew up like me, have sensibilities like me, and have loyalties like me.
Listen to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.